You're listening to another episode of Power Pearls Podcast. I'm the host, Karagat Warner, and it's my mission to share those stories that celebrate our passion for making and yarn crafting and what keeps us going down that path. This episode was brought to you by Barocco, one of the largest importers and wholesalers of hand-knitting yarns, patterns, and supplies in the United States and Canada. Barocco's range of specialty yarns are imported from countries around the world, and they publish an extensive range of books and patterns for both knitting and crochet. To learn more, visit barocco.com. Hey, welcome to another episode of Power Pearls Podcast. I'm Karagat Warner, and today I am joined by returning guest Tara Swiger, who works with makers and artists to create sustainable and lovable businesses. She is also the host of Explore Your Enthusiasm podcast and the new podcast, Essential Enthusiasm. Welcome back, Tara.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Well, this is great because, we had a conversation at TNNA. And for those of you who are not familiar with that, TNNA, the phrasing there, that's the National Needle Arts Association. And we were together back in June, and we were chatting about having a mindfulness episode, or I should say a conversation in the episode, and then share our mindfulness tools that we use. To help us succeed in both our businesses and in life. So we're going to be sharing those today. And so, hopefully you guys can benefit too. But before we dig in, I just want to share a little something with you guys, and then we'll jump into the conversation, or I'll jump into the conversation with Tara. I am going to be starting up a new Stitchucation series challenge October 16th through the 20th. So it's going to be short row shawls. And you can learn more and sign up for this special challenge to continue our intuitive shawl making experience by going to powerpearlspodcast.com/short row shawls challenge. That's a mouthful, isn't it? Okay. So Tara, you were already a guest on the show. So you're a returning guest on Power Pearls, and you were episode 61. So for anyone that hasn't heard that episode, you guys should definitely go back and have a listen. But since that conversation, your business has evolved just a little bit since we last spoke, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
So could you share a little bit about yourself, just as a brief, kind of an introduction in this episode for those who haven't, they haven't heard about you yet. So go for it.
Well, what I've been doing for the last, 7 years is helping makers and artists build sustainable businesses through talking about marketing, through talking about goal setting, time management, and profitability. Those are the main areas we cover. And I've been doing that with my podcast, with books, with workshops, both online and around the world. And I got into that because I started making my own hand-spun yarn and selling it. And when that business grew to the point I could quit my day job, people started asking me questions and I started answering them. And I think that's what we talk about more in that episode.
Yes.
And then over the years, I love business. Like I love exploring business. I love exploring business models. So I help hand makers often move into either doing craft shows, like they've been online and they're doing craft shows, or vice versa, or I help them moving into wholesale and retailing. And then in the past about 6 months, I started kind of another arm of my business where I'm helping people find natural solutions through essential oils and natural non-toxic things. And that comes both from my own, basically struggle with anxiety and depression. Did we talk about that in the episode?
I don't know if we did.
Dealing with it then. So I'm not sure if we did, but that's definitely where this conversation about mindfulness came from, because basically I came out on my episode or on my podcast about having not only issues, but like, what am I doing to deal with these issues? And one of the things that really helped were essential oils. So there is a whole business side of that where I share oils with people. And half of it was wanting to share the things that really worked for me. And half of it was wanting to learn a new business model, because I just love learning all of the business models and like figuring out how they work for people. And also finding solutions that, like, if you don't make a product with your hands and want to sell it, I still want you, if you want to have a sustainable, thriving business, I want to help you do that. And the same thing, like, so I think a lot of your listeners are designers or yarn makers. Well, not everybody can do knitwear design. I certainly can't. And so I was looking for some opportunities and kind of methods of working with people outside of just the handmaker designer community. And so that's like why my business has shifted, both learning new business models and also like just being really honest about these are the tools that work for me. And what I find is when I come from that place of like, this is what I'm dealing with and this is what's working, like people want to hear more about it. Mm-hmm. And it's more fun to talk about the stuff that I'm super into right now.
Well, exactly. And then that's going to come off in a much more authentic way when you're sharing those things that really get you excited. And I think also that, you know, we're so much more than just our maker businesses or what we do, you know, as a hobby, whether we're knitting, whatever. You know, mindfulness really plays a role. I always like to say it's like part of my business/life plan. To have that. So I love that you're talking about how you integrate the essential oils and the other mindfulness practices. And that's a lot, you know, that's why I wanted you to kind of share how things have evolved for you over the last couple of months, because it's really changed quite a bit. And I really love that you, like you said, you came out because I think that's really an important thing. And I think it's added a great element to what you're doing with your podcasts. So I just said, like, I consider mindfulness like this light part of my life plan, business plan. So how would you describe that for yourself? Like, how does mindfulness manifest itself into what you're doing now in your business? Like, how does it help you?
Maybe let's define mindfulness. I'm thinking it, and I think this is what we did when we were emailing back and forth. Mindfulness,
yes.
Like the being aware in the present moment, right? And paying attention to what's going on, as opposed to just like zooming through life or going through your to-do list and just like buckling down on getting through it. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. And you can't just say, I want to be mindful. You have to kind of apply some effort there. I mean, like maybe I'm getting ahead of myself. Some of this will be in my tools, but you know, you can download all the apps. Great, right? We love them. I mean, I have some favorites. But if you don't use the apps, if you don't use the tools, and that's why we're going to talk about the tools, but also that we're using the tools. And if we don't use the tools, then you really can't. Then it's just sort of like a cool saying on Facebook or someone mentions mindfulness. Ooh, that sounds great.
Yeah.
Right? So it is about applying that effort, but it doesn't have to be hard. Like little teeny realizations or little teeny jewels, I like to call them. And you put them in your back pocket and you're like, yes, that I felt so good just from 5 minutes of that. Let me do that again tomorrow. And then maybe that turns into 10 minutes and so on and so forth. So don't you think that's how it goes for you too?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And to answer your question about how it shows up, that's exactly it. Is if it's just being aware, then it's most useful for me when I am noticing my personality type is kind of more like I'll just buckle down and work really hard and ignore my own needs or how I'm feeling or like that I need to eat lunch or use the bathroom or anything. And so mindfulness can kind of making that an intention for the day or for the work session, just to be aware of that. Actually, I don't get any less work done. What I do is I enjoy it more. And when you are like we are doing what we love for a living, it's like, you want to actually notice that because the thing is, there's a lot of really hard stuff in business and in life. And if you're not noticing when things are really good, you're missing out. And it's going to, because of how our brains work with the negativity bias, we're only going to notice the negative things. So for me, mindfulness is actually part of just recognizing when things are good and taking a minute to be like, oh, this feels good. Like you said, like maybe it's just 5 minutes where you're like, this feels really great. Like maybe I'm getting a lot of work done. Maybe I had a really great conversation with somebody. Maybe I'm feeling really inspired right now. And then the flip side of that is noticing when I'm not and not just being like, oh, well, I feel awful, too bad, but actually like, okay, wait, step back. What could I do? what's going on. Like yesterday, this is silly, but yesterday I was working at a coffee shop and I just kept noticing myself getting like grumpier and grumpier and like less like I could write or do the work I was supposed to do. And what I realized is that the whole place, I don't know if it was their pipes or a machine, but it was kind of like vibrating with this really loud noise. Like somebody was like mowing the lawn right next to the window, like that kind of like, burr. And just taking a minute to be like, what's going on? Like I realized, oh, I could just leave. And then I left and I felt great, but it was like the loud noise and the, it's just like a tiny thing that in the past I would have just worked through it and just gotten a worse and worse and worse mood. Then my husband would have come home and I would have been a total grouch, even though it's something so easy to fix.
Right. And some of those things that happen in our day, or those, I should say, the things that happen in our day, not some, all of the things that happen, if we have a dose of mindfulness where we're sitting in meditation or silence, whatever you want to call it, and you cultivate that, those things don't seem as heavy, right? And I notice that when I make sure to add in that piece into my day to really sit still, you know, I like to call it like sort of like a domino effect, you know, like everything just sort of falls into place. It really does. Yeah. And so, you know, just remembering that, like seeing that happen is when it really becomes real to you. Like it says, oh yeah, okay. But when you see it really happen, you're like, wow, I just watched my mind do that. And I'm so proud of myself. Yeah.
So like what you're describing is like, having a set time of like a routine of doing that when nothing's happening, where you're like specifically just paying attention to your breath or how you're feeling, then builds that skill up. So when you're moving through the day, you can bring that to that moment, right? So when something is happening, you're bringing that mindfulness to the moment. And I think that's, for me, at least for a while, that was the thing that was missing. I was just like, oh, just be mindful all the time. But really what meditation or mindfulness training is it's actually training for all the other moments in your day.
Absolutely. Right. So that's why sometimes sitting still on a chair or a cushion or whatever, you know, you can get bored. You're like, this isn't working. Well, that's the wrong motivation, right? Because yeah, it can get boring. It can. Like, so right there, just decide, all right, I'm just going to, you know, try this and keep pushing through, right? Because off the cushion or off the chair, like you said, Tara, it's going to manifest itself in those moments when you're not even expecting it. You won't even think about it. It'll be automatic.
Yeah.
That's the magic to me. That's what makes it worth sitting still, you know, because it's hard for me to sit still. And I'm sure it is for you too. And I'm sure it is for a lot of people listening because we're going all the time. So, yeah. So this was a good little introduction before we get into our little tools here. So do you want to dive in first with sharing? See, I had like six that I sent you earlier.
Yeah.
So if we have time, I kind of figure I'll go with what I can.
Okay.
But why don't you dig in with yours, Tara?
Well, we've had some apps. So I'll say one of my apps. You can say some of your apps. The first one that got me started meditating, which is basically just having a quiet mindfulness practice. It's not anything spiritual, anything woo-woo. It's like literally breathing, focusing on your breath. And that was the app Headspace. And I've used it. It has a free 10-day trial where you practice for 10 minutes for 10 days, and then you can pay for it. And then there's all these other tracks you can do at certain times, like when you're cooking or when you're going for a walk or when you're riding on an airplane. And then it also has like specific goals, like different kinds of meditation and mindfulness for creativity or for focus, which is one of my favorites. But that's how I got started. 3 or 4 years ago was using the Headspace app. And since then I've talked about it a couple times on my podcast, and I've heard from dozens of other makers who use that to get started. So if you don't know where to start, and you're like, what are they even talking about sitting in quiet? I like Headspace because it's very, agnostic. It doesn't matter what you believe or why you're doing it. It's just there just to help you tap into that quiet moment each day.
I've heard a lot about Headspace. And I first checked it out a couple years ago as well. And I never went beyond the free version, you know, but I like how you say, because once you dig in and if you are paying for it, I like how you said there's actually one for cooking, but I mean, like anything that you're doing. And so what that made me think of is how you kind of integrate this all day long.
in the little spaces. And that's how, after a while, it just, you become part, the mindfulness is just automatic, every little thing. So it's like, while I'm cooking, that's kind of cool. So yeah, that's a good one. So headspace, love that. So should I share mine? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So insight timer is one. That's been around a long time. And so, yeah, I'd say I probably found this one three, four years ago. And I used it for a while. Then I stopped. But then I recently got it back on my phone. Like, I just got a new phone. And it's totally improved. It's so cool. It almost looks like iTunes now when you use it. And it's got different meditation talks, obviously meditations, lots of different people, you know, teachers from all over the world are jumping in. And the thing that I love about this is, you know, you can just use a timer. That's why it got the name Insight Timer, because it was just like the gongs or just silent. But now it's teachers, you know, it's meditation talks, or, you know, just mindfulness talks, meditations. I think there might even be some yoga. It's just, there's tons of stuff in there. And so, like, this morning I was listening to, it's kind of perfect for our conversation, because I have it bookmarked because I keep listening to it over and over again. And it's just a reminder. It's basically about how to start a daily practice, or remembering why a daily practice is important. And so I was listening to that while I was knitting this morning, and I was like, you know, just every time, you know, I hear it, another little, it's almost like something new comes to mind. So the apps are a really great support. So there are two for you guys.
Yeah. So the other thing that I do that will really improve your focus and your productivity is, this is not even an app, but I put my phone on airplane mode. I know it's like the simplest hack ever, but when I guess I traveled, and so I went on airplane mode, and then I didn't take it off for, I kind of forgot. And I was like, I'm like paying attention. Yeah. Get things done. So I will often, if I have a project that I'm stressed out about, if I have something I've been putting off, if I just am feeling like that kind of frazzled, I can't focus, I'm like thinking about everything, I keep checking. Facebook Messenger now is what a lot of people in my newer business use. And so I put on airplane mode. Along with airplane mode is, I turn off all notifications. So like, if you Instagram message me, Facebook message me, post a review on iTunes, like anything you do to contact me, I'm not being notified of that until I go in and check it. Oh, emails, of course, none of those notify me. The only thing I've turned on are text messages, and that's because it's only my mom, my husband, and a friend who text me. And by turning off the notifications, I'm making sure that my phone isn't always saying, look at me, look at me, look at me. And then by airplane mode, you're like not even letting yourself, like, nothing's going to update on your phone. Nothing's going to come through. And when people say they have a hard time focusing because they're getting distracted, that's the first thing I ask them is your phone sitting next to your desk or next to your knitting? Because if it is, either put it in the other room or put it on airplane mode, and do not take it off for a certain amount of time.
I love that, because it's so simple. This morning when I was meditating, my phone was next to me, and I was going to not do airplane. I'll do like do not disturb. I like airplane better because it just, nothing can come through except the texts, you know, same with my husband. He's like, I've been texting you, you know? but just doing that, cause I was sitting there and I went like that, you know, no one could see my eyes who's listening, but you know, like, oh, that just right there shattered that, you know, that, the concentration, but okay. So, here's my similar kind of what you mentioned with your phone. So I will, with my phone, if I want to create my own meditations or my own slogans, you know, or affirmations, I will record literally like a meditation or something that I know will inspire me when I hear the words in my own voice for as long as I wish to sit. And I'll do that, and I'll have all these like cool recordings just sitting in my iPhone. So kind of training through my own words. That's one of the ways, but really I feel like my phone has become a mindfulness device. It can be, right? It can be like anything, used for good or used for bad habits.
Yeah, that's such a great idea, because the initial recording, right, like cemented it in your head. And then every time you listen to it, it's almost like a self-trust tool, because you're learning to trust yourself as the expert, right? As opposed to listening to other people tell you, you are beautiful, you are wonderful, whatever your affirmation is.
Yeah.
It's your own, it's your own self saying that. I really like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I guess another tool, I have a few others I can, I'll just jump in. My journal. So this is kind of, we're leaving the app realm, right? Mm-hmm. Are we good to do that? We can start talking about non-digital stuff.
Yeah.
Or unless you have another, do you have more digital?
Yeah.
Okay. So my journal, because, and I know I won't write in it every day. I used to be a daily journaler or journal writer. Journaler isn't really a word, a real word, is it? But a lot of people use it, but it's okay. Journaler. Yeah. But I will write if I really want to remember a session or a day or even like a week that I was like, oh, that was so great because I was so consistent, you know, and this is how I felt because I sat still, because I sat down in meditation. This is what it helped me feel like. And so it would just to spur on my continuation, you know, and it's like those little things. I felt content this week. Like that's huge.
Yeah.
Because contentment is a big part of mindfulness. Like if you feel content, that's a sign. That's a sign that's working.
Yeah.
You know? And then, you know, I can see, you know, write down, did I have more patience? You know, were there things that, you know, normally bother me, like little ordinary daily things that were like, eh, you know? So that's the stuff that if I write it down and I can go back and remember, ah, there, all right, Kara, get back on the seat, get back on the cushion.
Yeah.
So that's one.
Yeah.
Do you have anything like that?
Yeah. Well, that just reminds me of like anytime you're trying to make behavioral change, if you can track it and journal it. So if that's like you're tracking your workouts and what weights you're using in your workouts or how long you can go, or you're trying to change what you eat, like anything that you track, we have a better chance of changing it because you're being honest with yourself, which is like a huge part of mindfulness, right? Is actually noticing what you're truly doing and what you're feeling, as opposed to just like, this is my habit, so I'm going to reach for a donut again, or this is my habit, so I'm going to not meditate. Like all mindfulness is just noticing actually what's going on and what you're doing. And so tracking it in that way, or using like an app or doing it in your journal is useful, like whatever habit you're trying to change.
Yeah, definitely. Totally agree. And then what about a dedicated space? Do you have like a space in your home that you go to, or maybe it is even your room that you're in now? Like I have my craft/meditation room, you know, but it's my own space that I can go to, that I can close the door. Do you have anything like that you designate?
This is our office and it's right off the living room. It has a big open door to the living room, which I like because it allows better light. But I do have this chair that I sit in for all my videos is my most comfortable favorite chair. So I will either, depending on the season, I'll do it here. Or right now we have a, on my front porch, which you guys can't see, but I'm pointing to. We have a chair on my front porch. And so what I've been doing is going there and just sitting on my front porch because I can hear the birds chirp. And
oh, nice.
They're falling. And so it's been like really great weather to just sit on the front porch. And so it's not necessarily like an eyes closed meditation as much as it is like being grateful because I can see the sunshine and I live in a pretty neighborhood, and all of these things were not true for a large portion of my life. So I found that just like sitting on my porch and being really grateful for where I am kind of naturally leads into like a 5 or 10 minute meditation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that sitting without your eyes closed, you can still meditate while you're walking, you know, sitting right with your eyes open, like I said, but I think that leads to the next phase, right? So you settle in, you settle your mind, because here's something I want to mention. So, and I noticed this myself, but then I realized that it's because I'm paying attention to when your mind feels busy, like the busier, it seems like your mind is busier when you start, right? When you start to like just sit still and meditate because you're not doing anything else. You're like, oh, my mind is so crazy. And oh, I'm such a bad meditator. And, you know, all these things come in, but that's a good sign because it shows you that, you know, you're able to just watch your mind, and that's normal. It's totally, totally normal.
Yeah. And I always like a couple people, I said this in one of my episodes about, you know, using meditation for anxiety. and I've gotten a lot of comments on it, which is that the goal, people get confused, I think, because of what they've heard about meditation. The goal isn't to make your mind stop thinking thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Like, right.
In mine. It's not to make my mind stop thinking thoughts. It's to become aware and go back to where you want to focus. So for a lot of people, that's on your breath. Maybe that's on a mantra or an affirmation or what you're listening to, or on the sunshine and it leaves. Like, it's the actual act is bringing your attention back and bringing your attention back. So it going, your attention shifting, or you thinking too much isn't wrong. That's the process. Like, you realize you're thinking and then you bring it back. And that's the skill we're talking about building up in your day, so that when you were supposed to be writing a blog post, but instead you get distracted, you bring it back. And like, that's kind of what we're talking about.
Yeah, definitely. And I guess the technical term for that is analytical meditation. Mm-hmm. So you focus on your object, like you're saying, this where you want to bring your mind back to. And so you can let your mind kind of get into the object. And then once you're there, you're able to hold it the longer you're sitting. So then you're not just sort of like, la, 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 you know, like, this is boring. Like, actively, like you said, actively being able to hold an idea in your mind. And like, maybe it's a struggle, you know, like for me, you know, like, because, you know, business, like, you know, we're both, because we talk a lot about business and just about all the things, right, that we're doing. And so I have so many ideas, but it's like trying to stay focused on one thing at a time. Like, I actually thought about that this morning when I was meditating, like, you know, it's okay to do one thing at a time, because you can't do more than one thing at a time. So why try spinning the wheels and all these reasons, these valid reasons for why this is why, you know, that I can just relax. It's really what I tried to tell myself. And it really helped. It really helped. So that's a little tiny example, maybe, you know, but it's like something that's real. So like I said before, those training through your own words or your own slogans or affirmations, right? Mm-hmm. So what else? What else you got in your bag of tricks?
One of the things that I've been finding really useful, and we kind of mentioned it already a little bit, but so our actual tools to bring you back to the moment or to make you aware. And one of my favorite ones is essential oils. So for those of you who don't know, essential oils are just oils directly from plants that have aromatic compounds. That's why they smell good. It's not perfume, totally different. And it's not any fake fragrance. It's just like when you pick basil or rosemary, that smell, that's the essential oil. And how you can use it in your mindfulness practice is actually two ways. So one is to create a scent trigger. So I always use frankincense before my quiet time. It comes from trees. It's very grounding and calming. And basically you could use any oil, no matter what the known properties are, and imbue it with your own properties. So if you use frankincense every time before you sit down and be quiet, soon, very soon, that smell will actually trigger those feelings for you. So I've used frankincense and had some really like good calming quiet times. And so when I put it on now, if I'm feeling kind of anxious, it kind of brings me back to that place. In the same way we're talking about how meditation trains your mind to go back to that place, scent is one of the most powerful senses to trigger like memory. So it's like you're bringing that memory of that calm feeling back. Does that make sense? Oh,
yeah, that totally does. Yeah. I mean, so the company that you work with, or you are, these essential oils, doTERRA, right, is the name of the company. Yeah. Sorry, that didn't come out right. And no, I find it to be very interesting because I know that there's a lot that you can do in a mindfulness practice.
There's a lot of ways to use them. There's tons of research being done on both how they impact your physical health, because they actually interact with your body. As we know, plants interact with the human body in a lot of really healthy ways. And then they also can impact your mental health. And that was actually the second way I was going to say about using them in meditation. Is the first way is you can create your own scent trigger. But the second way is you can, different oils and plants are known to have different properties. Like lavender, we all think of as calming. Peppermint and orange and citrus is like more uplifting, right? And invigorating. So one of the ways, the simplest ways I like to use it, is to be mindful of how you're feeling. Mm-hmm. How are you feeling? How would you like to feel? And then pick an oil associated with that. So that can mean that if you are feeling bedraggled, you want to pick up like a pick-me-up oil, like peppermint or orange. And of course, doTERRA has blends, like one's called Motivate. I'm actually diffusing it now, and it's what I use when I work. Another word, it's called Passion, that I always use that when I write because it gets me feeling inspired. But you can use both because of their names and because they're known properties. It's a way of, I really think of it as like a way of taking a minute of self-care. In the same way, you might say, oh, I'm hungry. What do I feel like eating? You can also say like, oh, I'm feeling like exhausted, or I'm feeling defeated, or I'm feeling sad. And like, how would I like to feel? Okay, I'm going to take one tiny moment to go and either smell that oil or diffuse it or rub it on and then feel that new feeling. Like, and it doesn't mean that the oil makes you feel the feeling. It's almost like a, you're taking care of yourself and you're taking one tiny step, and then it will let you take other steps like journaling or exercising or being good to yourself and actually feeding yourself lunch. Like all of these other things can come from that, just acknowledging how you're feeling and how you like to feel. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. So you're talking a lot about how, you know, all of what you're talking about here, you talk about in your new podcast, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's called Essential Enthusiasm.
Exactly.
That's cool. And you have a website too, that a new website for all this as well?
Yeah, exactly. You can go to essentialenthusiasm.com. You'll find all the new podcast episodes. It's actually co-hosted by me and three other girls. We take turns doing episodes. My recent one, I think, was my morning routine, in which I talk about this, like we just talked about. So how the oils help me sit down and meditate, exercise, like all the things I do to kind of have a good day mood-wise, right? Like the things that help my anxiety and depression stay in control are like those first things I do in the day to set me off on a good day.
Yeah, this is good. I think we covered all the bases. What do you think?
Yeah.
So, well, thanks. I really appreciate that you spent time with me today, Tara. We had this awesome conversation about how we use our mindfulness tools. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I'm so glad we're talking about it.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. So, but thank you so much. And yeah, I'll see you.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, that about does it, you guys. Another episode in the bag, and I hope that you enjoyed it. Thanks for hanging in there with me today. And if you haven't had a chance yet, please hop on over to iTunes. I haven't mentioned this lately, but you know, it's so important. I would love it if you could leave a review and a rating for this podcast. And let me tell you why it is so important. Because it helps get the show noticed by other knitters so I can keep on podcasting, you guys. And also, we can help share the love. Your rating and review will help me to greatly impact others and get the word out to more knitters and those wanting to learn this craft that we are all so passionate about. Also, if you have a special knitting story, I would love to hear from you. And if you feel that the story will help and inspire others on their own knitting journey, then go to powerpearlspodcast.com and click on the Tell Your Story link and leave me a short voice recording with your story and why you think it should be featured.